Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
By the way, a quick note on the St. John's situation. The outgoing coach, Mike Anderson, who was fired. Some reporting by Myron Medcalf of ESPN this morning. St. John's is attempting to fire Mike Anderson for cause and avoid paying him the $11 million they owe him. And as a result, Anderson is countering with a lawsuit. Very Ooh. Normal stuff in Queens.
When you court the devil, this is the kind of thing that happens.
Okay. Yeah. And maybe two separate situations, but yeah, we'll follow up on that one. Robbie Lula joins us now. Hello, Robbie.
What's going on, guys?
Long time no talk.
I know. It's been ages.
So I texted Robbie last night. I was like, hey, so just call me. I want to talk about Creighton basketball because I was bored. But this is like 11 o'clock at night. But I know that Ravi is like a night guy. He's like a nighttime guy. So he stays up for a long time. So I figured it'd be good for a conversation. And we talked until I was in the middle of nowhere in Colorado.
Yeah, and then your cell phone dropped. And I was like, well, I guess that's it.
Yep, and it was. You thought I died, or do you thought what?
No, you had warned me there was bad reception ahead. And so I was like, that's probably all she wrote.
Robbie Lula being described by Josh as Creighton honk. Also, I'm going to throw this in your face right now. Ryan Nemhard hater. How does it feel, Ryan Nemhard hater, Robbie Lula today?
It feels like he's playing a lot better than he was when I was hating on him. I mean, that's what people, I don't know if they understand this about me or about what kind of we do in general on the radio, is most of the time we don't dislike anyone.
Right.
I mean, with the exception of like Scott Frost, who I actively dislike. I feel like I was pretty upfront about that. I don't actively dislike any, and certainly no one on Creighton. Like, everybody knows I'm a Creighton fan. So when people are like, oh, you hate Ryan Nemhard, it's like, no, he wasn't playing very well, and I said it out loud. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Now he's playing awesome. I'm also saying that out loud. Like, I don't know what you want me to do here. But yeah, it is kind of funny. People hear what they want to hear half the time. And so, yeah, people hear Ryan Nemhard hater and they're like, yeah, ha, see, I told you. And I was like, he had a stretch of like 9 games in the middle of the year where he was not good. I don't know what to say.
What were you thinking last night? I was sort of describing the way I was feeling sort of in the building. And I felt like the way that Creighton fans were reacting to, was there ever a point where you felt comfortable?
When Baylor stopped fouling first time that I felt okay.
The exact same moment, 22 seconds left.
Yes, as long as they were continuing to stretch that thing out, I did not feel good. I had the tightest of sphincters you could possibly have. the whole thing, I was like nauseous. I was like sick to my stomach. I was like, yeah, it's normal to have to take a Xanax to watch a basketball game, right? This is fine. The whole thing was just horribly nerve-wracking, but awesome at the same time. It's a very strange roller coaster of emotions because they were like, when they hit the back-to-back transition threes by Farabello and Nemhard to go up 18,
yep.
I was like, oh my God, are they going to blow them out? And then all of a sudden it was 12 immediately, and I was like, nope. Not going to have a relaxing night tonight. So, it was, I think there was a healthy amount of anxiety and nervousness among Creighton fans. And understandably so. Baylor was still punching pretty much to the very end.
Yeah. I felt the same way, obviously, and I was definitely never comfortable until about that exact moment. But if you look at the actual, like, if you look at the game on paper, I mean, Creighton sort of dominated. They you know, and there was no reason to think that they were going to give it up. They didn't. They weren't that. I mean, I guess they turned the ball over 14 times.
Only four in the second half, though.
Only four in the second half. Like, they were in control. They kept them at arm's length the entire game. They made every single free throw, 22 out of 22, and they were playing one of their best offensive games, really, of the year. There was no reason to feel that way if you look at it on paper, but I suppose that's just the history of it creeping in.
Yeah, I mean, there's the history of, obviously, with Baylor. There's the history of, you know, just of the past tournament disappointments in general. There's, I also think, and maybe this is going too deep on it and kind of going too, like, meta on the situation here, but I also think since there is, and I know people don't want to believe this, since there is a healthy overlap between Nebraska football and Creighton basketball fans, I also think some of that history, especially recently, where you're just used to watching your team kind of blow it at the end. I do think that carries over to a certain point where you're just like, oh no, I'm not comfortable until the very end here. I think that's part of it too, but you're right on paper. I mean, I don't think it was closer than like 8 or 9 points for the last 11 minutes of that game. Like they didn't get it under three possessions. Baylor didn't get it under three possessions for the majority of the second half. So, like, you're right. On paper, it was a pretty convincing, comfortable win, but it felt anything but comfortable.
Well, okay, to back that piece of it up then, if you were to guess a time on the clock when Creighton made their last field goal, what time do you think that was?
It was late. It was the field goal that got them to 79 points, I think. And so, what was that? Four minutes left, four and a half.
5:54.
Okay, yeah.
They didn't make a field goal for the last 5:54. And you're right, it was the one that got him to 77. It was Nemhard's three.
Okay. And
that was the one that got him up 18. And then they never made a field goal the rest of the game.
And so that's part of it. Like, when they're missing shots, it feels worse than it is, right? And they did have like a 3.5, I want to say, scoring drought in general once they hit 79. Before they started making the free throws to ice it away. So, like, there was a stretch there where it's like, feels like things are tightening up a little bit, even though it wasn't as dramatic as it felt.
Well, and I think that leads into the next thing. So, I mean, there's the history, and then there's specifically the history with Baylor, and then there's the lack of tournament success in general. But this team in particular, they give off the vibe that they belong and they know they belong. And you know, I think that's a big reason they've been able to put two pretty quality performances back to back in the NCAA tournament. That's something that's plagued Creighton over the years. They just never played their best games in the tournament. They played a really great game last night in the NCAA tournament. And I get the sense that we talked about this a little bit on the pregame show yesterday, you know, that they feel like Creighton and Baylor are peers in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is the confidence that's sort of exuding from this team right now. So if, you know, it comes down to putting it together again, but that's what I sort of feel when I talk to them, and when they talk about sort of their performances.
So as I'm sitting here thinking about this, was last night the best Creighton NCAA tournament performance ever?
I mean, yeah.
Because even the games that they've won, a lot of times it's like, okay, they kind of have to grind it out against a team that wants to play a different type of pace or a different kind of style. You know, I think back to the McDermott teams. I think they have like a Cincinnati and an Alabama and that Louisiana Lafayette. That were all kind of grinders.
Yeah, never felt like they played well in any of those games.
Felt like they played their best game in the NCAA tournament. Last night's the first one I can at least think of. I mean, unless you want to go all the way back to like Terrell Taylor against Florida in like 2002.
But that's different though. I mean, they're huge underdogs. Like it's a
different
situation.
Dynamic, right? So, somebody might have to fact check me on this one, but certainly in my lifetime, I think that was by far the first time I was like, yep, that's the Creighton team I've been watching all year.
So that's where you can sort of get carried away of like what it means. Like, I felt like, you know, Creighton needed that validation of getting back to this point again as a program. And to do it against Baylor, coincidentally, after they did what they did to you 9 years ago. I was talking to Kalkbrenner last night, and he was like, yeah, I heard that they had, you know, in his big deep voice, like, yeah, I heard they beat us by what was it, 20? I go, no, 30. He's like, oh, yeah, really, 30? You know, so but to do it against that team, I just feel like it's sort of validation that Creighton is at that kind of level now. And you could really sort of get carried away if you wanted to and take it to the next step. But, yeah, it was a great moment, and I think it was a moment of validation for the program.
Well, you and I were talking about this last night on our, you know, late-night pillow talk on your way home from Colorado. I've had this recurring kind of, you know, I guess, sense of, I don't know if impending dread is the word, but like going all the way back to like the Corver days, it always felt like Creighton couldn't improve on where they were, right? When you had Kyle Korver, you're like, well, they're never going to get a player as good as Kyle Korver. This was their best shot to make a run in the tournament, and they didn't do it. And then you wait a few years, and, you know, the Nate Funk, Anthony Tolliver years were pretty good. But then you kind of have the fall off into the late Dana Altman era before he leaves. But then all of a sudden you've got the best player in program history, Doug McDermott. You're like, oh, well, if they don't do it when he's a senior, it's never going to happen, right? And then just a couple years later, you've got the Watson, Patton, Huff, Foster team. And you're like, okay, this is a team that might be Final Four good. And they have the Watson injury and the season falls apart. And you're like, well, it's never going to happen now. And then just a couple years later, you've got the Ballack, Mahoney, Alexander, Damian Jefferson, Christian Bishop, Zegarowski team. And you're like, okay, if this team doesn't make a Final Four, it's never going to happen. And then the world ends.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that sucks. And then just a couple years later, here we are again. Like you mentioned, Creighton viewing themselves as peers with Baylor or other teams like that. And I know people probably bristle up at the suggestion that, you know, Creighton's on level with a team that's won a national championship just a couple of years ago. But it also is kind of startling to see how Creighton has consistently elevated not only the program, but the level of players they've gotten and the level of expectation within the program. I mean, I remember growing up, it was just like, yep, let's just make the NCAA tournament. We'll be happy and good to go and whatever. And because you're in the Valley and you know you're going to be, it's probably in the 10, 11, 12 seed and whatever. And then all of a sudden, we're having this conversation. They were preseason top 10 this year, and now they face Princeton to go to the Elite Eight.
If you're watching,
we're just in a totally different stratosphere than we were even 10 years ago.
If you're watching that game without the seed lines on the bottom, you're like, I don't know who's the underdog here. Who's supposed to be the better team?
It was even. It was even.
Right.
Those teams looked both like high major programs.
Exactly. And Creighton played a little better, and that was sort of the difference. So moving forward, you know, now it feels like, okay, you made the Sweet 16, and I asked people last week, okay, what do they need to do in order for it to be a success? And I guess I'm less talking about the context of this season. But it does now, given the way that they played, and now they've had a couple performances like this over the last couple weeks. It does feel like there's still some, you still have some more wood to chop. Like there's still some stuff out there. And then you look at Princeton, you're like, where can this thing go? Like, what do you think about when you think about what could happen this weekend for Creighton?
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to discount anybody, but if you're telling yourselves you're not thrilled to death that you're facing Princeton instead of Arizona, you're out of your mind. Like
weasel win.
It's not a free path by any means, but it's certainly easier. Like Arizona is one of the better teams in the country. You know, like they were a two seed for a reason. Their metrics are awesome. We saw how good they can be, even when Creighton was playing super well in Maui, and you know Arizona still got the better of them. I get that's a few months ago now, but like still, that's an image that's hard to shake. Yeah, Creighton played pretty well that game, and Arizona still got him.
Yep.
You know, and then you've got a Princeton team that's very solid, but they're going to be dramatically outmatched physically. They're, you know, barely top 100 in offense and defense on KenPom compared to Creighton, who's top 25 and top 15, I think, respectively on defense and offense. You know, this is a pretty big win for them in the sense of they got a break. You know, we've had situations in the past where, you know, Creighton was on the same side of the UMBC upset of Virginia and they couldn't get past Kansas State. Mm-hmm. Getting past Baylor was a huge deal, and they give themselves an opportunity to get to an Elite Eight. You want to call it a weasel win or whatever. This is what happens in not just the NCAA tournament, just sports in general. You know, like people get injured, teams get upset. Like it happens, and you just have to take advantage of the opportunities presented to you. Now, if you think I'm not hoping like hell that San Diego State upsets Alabama, then you're out of your mind, because I certainly am.
Yep.
Because I'll be honest, I don't see a path for Creighton to beat Alabama. I really don't. Alabama's really, really good. And so, you know, yeah, I'm rooting pretty hard for San Diego State too, but that's the path forward to me. I think Princeton is a game you should win, that you need to win. Creighton is better than Princeton. That's not a hot take. That's just a fact. But if they get past Princeton, I'm hoping they're looking at SDSU and not Alabama.
What is the sense? We'll let you go on this, Robbie, big picture. What given last night and Creighton getting, you know, kind of that validation a little bit, now two Sweet 16s in the last 3 years, what is the national sort of sense on Creighton? Like, how is Creighton viewed as a program just on what the things that you've sort of been able to pick up? I can't really, you know, pinpoint them, and I can't really understand what the national landscape thinks. I mean, you look at like the Sweet 16 rankings today, and I'm not even talking, you know, you can talk about this team or talk about big, you know, large scale over a long period of time. But I don't think they'll be that high on the re-rankings of the Sweet 16 team. Like, what do you think people think of Creighton right now? Weird question.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little hard to tell from a national perspective. Like, going into the tournament, I felt like the national media was higher on Creighton than the local media was because, you know, they kind of see big picture stuff and they're not, like, in the nitty-gritty the day and day. And, you know, you don't see some of the performances on a national scale that give you pause if you're watching them every game in and game out and talking about it a lot like we do. So going into the tournament, I actually thought the national perspective was higher on Creighton. Now I feel like people respect Creighton. I especially feel like they respect Coach McDermott. I don't know if they appreciate, you know, like at the beginning of the season, it seemed like they appreciated the talent level, you know, with ESPN ranking all five starters in the top 100 players in the country and things like that. But it seems like when you and maybe I'm doing the same thing here when I'm talking about Alabama, it seems like they kind of understand, like, hey, these are all really good college basketball players. They probably don't have the high-end NBA talent that, like, an Alabama has or somebody like that, you know? And so I think they're respectful of Creighton, but I also think they kind of put a ceiling on them, which is, you know, probably fair at this point because they don't have the high-end talent of, like, an Alabama.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think that seems about right. Robbie, appreciate it, man. Thanks for keeping me awake last night for a couple minutes, and thanks for coming on the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you going to Louisville? Are you making that road trip?
I don't think so. Little out of range.
A little longer drive.
Yeah, also breaking news. There's no direct flights from Omaha to Louisville.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't not in the cards for the old Southwest Airlines there or really any other airline. So, wow, no, I think I'm staying at home.
All righty. Well, have a good rest of your show.
See you later, Robbie.
Yep.
It's Robbie Lula. Creighton honk.
Honk, honk.
Honk, who's honking? Yeah, no, I'll just be at home. Glass case of emotion, I think, in my basement this weekend. It's a Friday night. Are we waiting all day on Friday? Yeah, we're going to be doing that on Friday and maybe Sunday, too.
And it's one of those, like, you're facing a 15 seed.
Oh,
so
I know. The nervousness is going to be off
just,
the charts.
Yeah, you're just, if it doesn't go your way, you're just going to be mad and upset and like, oh.
So, yeah. It's a great point. Like, we asked the question last week. 2 wins, Sweet 16. I am satisfied. This is a...
It came back like 48% said Creighton needs to win 2 games.
Like, this is a now bona fide good team and a great team. in the history of Creighton basketball. Like, this team will go down in history now, right? You did it. You accomplished that. But for some reason, and I think the way that they played last night has a big impact on this, I feel like there's more out there. Not that I'm going to be – not that I think that the season's a disappointment if you lose to Princeton or if you lose in the Elite Eight. Like, I don't think it can be at that point. But I just – we never really saw them. We only at a shouldn't say never. Only at a couple points this year have we seen them really hit their ceiling, and to bump up close to it in an NCAA tournament game on that stage last night, it changes what you think the team's sort of idea of a ceiling might be. And you know, so if you're telling me right now, I should actually check this out. If you're telling me right now that this team has a chance to get to the Final Four, I'm not going to argue with you. Creighton is a plus 950 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the national championship. Josh, that is – he's taking a phone call. 5th. Creighton, the Creighton Blue Jays, have the 5th best odds to win the national championship. That's a real life thing. So yeah, it does feel like there's something still left out there. We'll take a let's do this call from Joe on the other side. We'll take a quick break here. Josh still has the odd news. We still have Baylor Shireman and Ryan Kalkbrenner from the locker room last night.
Whoa, Connor.
Yeah, who?
That's exclusive audio.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, exclusively Ryan Kalkbrenner and Baylor Shireman from last night in the locker room. So we'll still have that throughout the show. We'll take a phone call on the other side, and we will have more on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.